All right, there we go. The red light is on. What's up, guys? Ben and Bananas on Fight Bananas. I'm Dave Van Auken. We'll always start ladies first, the heart and soul of the show, the ruthless one, L. Dawson. L., how are you?
I'm good. Let's do this.
I know. Let's go. UFC Vegas 82 time. We don't got our boy Ryan Quinn with us, but we got UFC superstar. We got a welterweight knockout expert. We got an OG of the Fight Bananas crew. Ryan Battle, my guy. What's up, brother?
Oh, dude, you know I'm doing good. You know, yeah. You know, good day if I'm on Fight Bananas, you know what I'm saying? Talking. So, you know, it's a good day, good evening, whatever you want to call it. Thanks for that.
I was trying to think about it, man. I think it was like 6 months even before the first even UFC fight. Like, we were talking. I always bring this up.
It was way before that. It was
way before.
The third pro fight was the first
time. You versus Aaron Chambers, main event.
Chambers that fight for a company.
We go way back. People don't even know about it. But yeah. There we go, guys. Enough of the history books. They call the history a present because the present's in the now, something like that. I fucked that up. But let's go. Let's make some money. We got Brendan Allen in the main event. I've been talking with Brendan Allen for a long time. Maybe had a little fun with them in South Florida once or twice in my life. We'll take that for another time. Yeah. But I cannot wait. Main event time versus Paul Craig, light heavyweight, moving down to middleweight. He looked good in his first time in the middleweight division. But L, we always do this first. Best bet on the board. It's a long card. I believe there's only one female fight on it. A really cool, good co-main event. Not a lot of meat on this card, but what is your best bet on this card?
I agree with what you're saying. There's to follow up UFC 295 with this card is tough. And there's a lot of close fights here. There's some close lines. This one is a tough one to bet. I'm going to go straight to the main event with my best bet. I won't talk too much on the analysis of it all because I know we're going to touch on that at the end. But I think this is funny because I've been burned on Andre Muniz against both these guys. I thought Andre Muniz was like the next big thing after he submitted Jacare. Like, how do you go out and submit Jacare? And then I just felt like he never quite showed up again. It was sad for me to see because I loved watching his grappling. And then, man, I thought he was going to beat Brendan Allen, get submitted by Brendan Allen. Allen looked absolutely amazing in that fight. He was very controlled, very measured. And then I thought he was going to be able to hang with Paul Craig in the grappling and do better in the striking, and he ends up getting TKO'd. I agree. Craig looked great. Coming down to middleweight, I definitely think that that's where he belongs. But I think Allen is just the more well-rounded fighter here. We can touch on it more later, but I really, really like Brendan Allen by TKO. KO-TKO in this fight.
I like that. My man, Brian Battle, what you got? What's the best bet on the board? What's something that, when you looked at this card, looked at the betting lines or a bet, what's something that jumped at you?
I'll tell you what, in this one, it's tough because I know both these guys. I like both these guys, you know. Chase Hooper, he comes over to Wonder Boys every once in a while, so I ran into him over there, you know what I'm saying? And you know, the Monkey King, you know what I'm saying? I've crossed paths with him a couple times. What a goofball, what a crazy dude, you know? But, you know, grappling-wise, it'll be, you know, it's pretty crazy, but I think the striking is what's going to make the difference. I think the Monkey King, a little bit of an edge in the striking department. I think he's a little bit more comfortable, you know what I'm saying? Is willing to mix it up a little bit more. So, you know, it should be a fun fight, but I got the Monkey King in that. So that's the one I'm going to go with on that.
That's an underdog too, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say that. I think, Lovitz plus 170.
That's some good value. Look at that.
We got our boy Brian Battle. We got best bet and underdog.
He's coming out the gates high, you know what I'm
saying? I like that. Let's stick with that fight real quick. Let's stick with that fight. L, where do you see it? That fight is a fun fight on the social media aspect of everything. You know, both guys are really good on socials, really great grapplers, right? Like, those guys can both make, to me, a lot of money on the grappling super fights on UFC Fight Pass for years to come. But this is mixed martial arts. They're going to throw strikes. They're going to be in the clinch. I think a lot in this fight. I think whoever really controls the clinch might be the victor in this fight, a sneaky clinch fight. Where do you see this fight going, and who do you have winning?
This one's a tough one for me. I think this is kind of a – I think this is a close fight, personally.
Okay.
I think both guys – neither guys are exactly gracing the top 15 anytime soon at lightweight. I think Chase Hooper is one of these guys. He got in way too soon, man. Chase Hooper's a really talented kid, very talented jiu-jitsu guy, but he just got in too young. I don't think he was ready to fight grown men. And so part of me is like, man, is he there yet? And if he's not, then obviously Jordan Levitt has the experience and the literal grown man strength, because that's a thing. Like, there's old man, old lady strength, and you don't get that when you're 21, just getting into the UFC. And so I do think that there's some areas where Levitt may have an advantage, like Battle is saying, like on the feet. Yeah, he's probably the better striker, but I think Hooper's long and he's awkward. And I do think he's a much more dangerous jiu-jitsu guy than Levitt is. But if Levitt can stay safe in the guard, yeah, I could see him chewing up a lot. I can see a lot of time being spent in the guard.
Yeah.
Is kind of what I expect.
And I'm going to double down with Battle. If we're kind of, it seems like we're all pretty close on it. I'll take the plus 170 all day. Like, that's where the lean is at, right? That's where if we're kind of close or Brian's like, yeah, I'm leaning, love it. Let's go plus 170. So, all right, we're talking underdogs. L, who's your underdog play on this card?
I actually like a guy who has fought Jordan Levitt. I was looking at Trey Ogden here as an underdog, and obviously Trey Ogden's a guy I know fairly well because I came up in Kansas City where he trains still. And Mota is he's a heavy pressure, heavy hitter. He's a tough guy. It's difficult to do that style though against somebody who's rangy and awkward and moves a lot like a Trey Ogden. And Ogden's chin held up against Bahamundes, who may not be as dangerous in that first 2 minutes as Mota is, but he's definitely dangerous throughout the entire fight, and he's much longer. Mota's the shorter guy here. I don't think he throws as much volume as Trey. I think that these little, like, the lead high kick that Trey throws, the rangy kicks, the long jab, Trey kind of hides behind this long guard a lot. I think that that's going to give Mota some problems, and I think it's just going to be a very measured, slow-paced kickboxing fight for 15 minutes that I think Ogden will be able to edge out a decision.
I like it. I like it, Trey. It's a slight dog, but you got to take it. I think it's plus 110 right now. Brian, I know you gave us Jordan Levitt as your best bet as a dog. Is there another dog on this card you like, or you like love it and you're fine with that?
Dude, you know what? I'm here to make headlines, brother. You know what I'm saying? Came. Stay hot. I'm taking in the main, taking Craig to pull off the big up. You know what I mean? He's a big, dangerous grappler who's been dealing with bigger guys for his whole career. Brendan Allen, you know, is actually a guy I identify with. You know what I'm saying? I feel bad picking against him because I feel like he's one of those guys that, like, always gets kind of overlooked and then, and then always kind of supersedes expectations. But then, on the flip side, when you're used to being the guy getting overlooked a lot, it's hard being the guy when you're the favored guy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You know, you think that, like, the pressure will get to him a little bit?
You know, maybe not, but he doesn't have that same. He might not have that same chip on his shoulder. You know what I'm saying? I have the reason to go, like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Why you guys have me as underdog? Like, he's a favorite. You know what I'm saying? And a pretty decent favorite. You know what I'm saying? And then Craig,
big
time. Saying he's going to come down to middleweight and make things a little spicy, you know what I'm saying? So I'm taking Craig in the main event as my underdog pick.
Wow. I respect it. I do. And me and L, I think me and L may be the one fighter we've discussed over the 2-3 years of Ben and Benaz might be Brendan All In Allen, because let's just be real. Me and Brendan, we're tight. I think we're good friends or whatever. And I've said this for probably 2-3 years before this little 3-4 fight win streak, before he was a top 10, top 12 guy, I was saying Brendan All In Allen can lose to, you know, any middleweight on the roster, but could win, could defeat any middleweight on this roster. He could beat those top 3, top 5 guys. When no one in the MMA scene or the MMA media was saying it, I was screaming it on the mountain. And now Allen's won 3 of these in a row. So, you know, hey, I'm looking pretty good. I'm not going to lie. You know, the hair is looking all right. Brendan Allen's making me look all right. So I think Allen's going to get the job done. I just think he's too physical. He's just too strong. I think in a weird way, like, he's got no holes in the game. I think his kind of loss to Strickland, his loss to Curtis were great losses now looking back at it, right? Like when back then you kind of looked at it, we're like, you know, was that like short notice? There was some wonky stuff, you know, maybe some injury stuff. Now looking back on it, maybe he needed it mentally too. I think he's like, he can just do it all. Like, I feel like he can box and jab, but he also can power hit. He's got great underrated submission skills. Probably like one of the most underrated, not even in the middleweights and maybe all of in the UFC. The guy can put anyone away in so many like knee bars, Dar's chokes. He's just got, you know, a plethora of submissions. You know, I'm all in with Brendan Allen, you know, pun intended. So I got BA in the main event.
I want to say, I think that the Brendan Allen that fought Chris Curtis, I think that Brendan Allen's gone. Because yeah, that was why I was so low on him against guys like Andre Muniz. I just thought he didn't make good decisions in fights, but I haven't seen that guy since that fight. So I'm all in too. I think he's a future title contender.
Yeah. I like him going down to Killcliff and, you know, doing a lot of rounds. Some of the best fighters are in the world there. Some of the best coaches are there. And then not even that, like both of you guys can probably contest to this. Sometimes you mentally grow up in the game. Like you just get smarter as a fighter, putting in more rounds in the cage, outside the cage. You're like, I'm not going to make that mistake ever again. Like I made it. I took the L. That's it. I'm never doing that again. He's so talented. Like he doesn't have to like play it dangerous. Like he can play it smart and still win and stop the fights. And what was I think it was two fights ago when he stopped a danger. Was it Muniz when he stopped him in the third round?
No. He stopped Muniz in the third, but I was most impressed with Bruno Silva. Yeah, Bruno Silva is dangerous on the feet. Like
smashed Bruno Silva.
Yeah.
Like
that's a big win.
Yeah, and Silva's a bad boy. Like Silva's a bad. Well, Piera didn't stop Bruno Silva.
Yeah, no, he didn't. He sure didn't.
Come on now. Sure did. Come on now. So
which he ain't wrestling anybody either. But yeah, no, for sure. That's a big win.
Yeah, everything. That's why it's going to be such a tremendous upset when Craig pulls it off.
I love it, dude. I love it. Hey,
Craig is the champ killer. He's triangled Jamal Hill. He triangled Ankalaev. Like, that triangle is always, like, that can happen at any time in the guard.
Yeah, he defeated Jamal Hill.
Yeah,
he's the champ killer, man.
Like, he broke his arm. That's a...
It was nasty. That was a nasty break.
That was a
Wow, that is dangerous. Shit. All right, L. Dawson. Let's go to the 3-5 parlay. Let's make some money. And then Brian Battle. He's not going to give his own 3-5 parlay. He's going to agree with yours, or he's going to pick your shit apart. That's what he's going to do. That's what we're going to have the UFC. All right. You know, the welterweight king right there. We got Brian Battle. He's going to agree with you or pick it apart.
All right. Well, I'm going to start off with a welterweight fight. So I hope you're on my side here. So I think Michael Morales is going to beat Jake Matthews. I think Michael Morales has looked very, very good against like mid-level UFC talent to this point. He's only 3 fights in. He's fighting at the level he probably should be right now. Talented kid coming off Contender Series. They're trying to build him, which I absolutely would. I think he's very well-rounded. Love his grappling. He looks good everywhere. Jake Matthews has... I think he's also done pretty solidly against some of the mid-level talent. And then when he takes that little step up against, like, you know, your Matthew Semmelsbergers or Sean Brady, he tends to drop the ball. And I think his biggest issue is that he struggles with these really good wrestlers. So I expect Morales to be able to hang on the feet with Matthews and not get clipped. But I just think that there's a really clear path to victory for Morales here. So I have him as my first leg. Okay. And then I threw an underdog in there. This is a high risk, high reward parlay for me. But I actually, the more I thought about it and the more film I watched, I'm liking Luana Pinheiro to beat Amanda Ribas. I love Amanda Ribas. I've been a fan of hers for a long time. But I think Luana Pinheiro and Amanda Ribas both end up in a lot of split decisions. And this is what I've noticed. Ribas tends to be on the losing side of those splits. And Luana tends to get lucky, but I think the difference is when Ribas gets hit, it looks awful. The way she reacts to getting hit, she moves her head big, she turns away big, she makes these big reactive movements, and I think that's what lost her fights like the Caitlin Chookagian fight. I'm also not a huge fan of these girls that go flyweight, strawweight, flyweight, strawweight. I don't think that that's I don't think that bodes well. I think it's hard to find your home. It's hard to get a feel for the weight class because the speed, the cardio, the timing, all of it's going to be a little bit different. Obviously, she's a little bit bigger than Pinheiro, but they both have very high level jiu-jitsu and very high level judo. And Hibas, with her grappling, she tends to kind of just run into the clinch and kind of like bulldoze you over, while Luana lands these big, powerful throws that look really, really good on scorecards. And she blitzes in with these powerful strikes. And when she gets hit, she doesn't really show it. And I just think that that's going to be the difference maker in a female strawweight fight that's most likely going to go to the decision. So I really, really like her in that spot.
Like it.
And I think she was like plus 200. So that should ask, add some decent value. And then I'm going to the first fight on the card. I'm liking Rafael Estevam to beat Charles Johnson. Charles Johnson, he's a real athletic guy. I think he's a talented flyweight, but he struggles with these good grapplers. He struggled really badly with Cody Durden. He struggled with Mikhaev. Like he can't seem to deal with the high-paced grapplers. And Estevam, he's a really talented, another talented kid coming off Contender Series. I was really impressed with him on Contender Series. And I think that the UFC is just giving him a really great matchup to showcase his skills and his grappling here.
I like it. I like it. Real quick, Morales. What's her last name?
Luana Pink. I think it's Pinheiro is how you
Pinheiro
pronounce it.
To beat Amanda Ribas and Rafael. That's plus 545. Ooh. You bet $10. You win $54.50. $100 will win you $545. L. Dawson just giving Christmas money away. So, Brian Battle, is that a winning parlay or is that a losing parlay?
Yeah, there's a off the rip. I love the first pick. I love the first pick because you know what? I've never met Jake Matthews in person, but we got beef. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Great. He doesn't know it either.
Is that a call out? Is that a future call out?
No. There was one time, this one, begging for a big. Now my agent had me, hey, you want to fight Jake Matthews at this card? I was like, yeah, I'd love to fight Jake Matthews at this card. And then, I'm not saying he turned down the fight, but he ended up fighting Andre Fiorao on that card. So I was like, that's interesting. ever since I've had beef with him, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, he's
that's
just
a fight game.
I think that fight in particular, it was such a big highlight reel that people think he's a little bit better than he is. And where Morales, he kind of comes across as more of the real deal to me.
Yeah,
so, as to wait, like if you're asking me who I'm a little bit more motivated to, you know, go into the darkness when I'm preparing for a fight, definitely Morales. He scares me a lot more than that. You know, right. Like. Jake, he's got really nice hands, but his chin is suspect, and he's somewhere if you push, you know what I'm saying? I'm not very confident that he'll be able to push back as much as, you know, someone like Morales can. The second fight, that you kind of convinced – I didn't know too much about the young lady that Ribas was fighting, but, I mean, that argument you put together, that was solid, you know what I'm saying? I was just kind of –
good, right? She's the best. She's the best.
I'm thinking Ribas off of reputation.
Yeah.
Right.
I know who she is, you know what I'm saying? I've seen her work before. And then that last fight, I think, once again, spot on. I think, like, Charles Johnson is someone who his name is a little bit more familiar, but then it's like, yeah, you know, he has, you know, wins over, like, Jimmy Flick and people like that. But it's undisputable, you know what I'm saying, what kind of his weakness in the game is and, you know, looking at the person he's going against. You know what I'm saying? You're getting me wanting to go on my bet naps and, you know, put down.
That's what I'm saying. And us Floridians, like, we got that Hard Rock app just came live in Florida. I've been on football, you know. Hey, let's just say the Raiders won's on Sunday night. You know, the girls, the twin girls going to have new shoes on Christmas. So we're all right.
That, and then you got to post about it on the Sharps betting app. You know, shout out to Sharps. You know what I'm saying? They say,
There we go. Real quick, 2 minutes. We usually do it at the beginning of the show. My fault. I was a bad host. We'll do it a little bit at the end. UFC 295 was just, you know, past weekend. A lot of people were talking about it. I know we're kind of a couple days post, but let me just, I really, I missed it. And I know, L, I think you were on the other side too. What Tom Aspinall did, I'm kind of like still shocked. I was so on Sergey. Sergey had this date circled. He was the backup fighter. He was going to have Jones or Stipe. I thought that fight was never going to happen. So I thought Sergey knew this date, Madison Square Garden, it was going to happen. He was in. 2 weeks or 12 days happened. Tom Aspinall gets the call from another country. Now we're hearing stories. His back was all jacked up, messed up. And for him to come in there and just literally walk through Sergey Pavlovich, who has literally walked through the top 10, man, I'm impressed. I think we all had respect for Aspinall beforehand, but now this man is the best heavyweight in the world. Like, you just got to get, like, you know, you just got to, like, give it up to him. How about you guys? The main event, regardless, but what I took from UFC 295 was Tom Aspinall is that guy. Like, that's what I got.
Yeah, no, I was super impressed. Man, his speed. I think it's the speed and the movement. Like, just nobody moves at heavyweight like that except for, honestly, John Jones, and maybe not anymore. Like, you know, he's honestly not that old, but he's had many years in the game. You know, it's still hard on your body, even if you're not old in actual years. But man, I don't think Jones sticks around for that fight. I think maybe he actually fights Stipe and then retires.
And I don't know if you caught this too. I was surprised about how big Aspinall was against Sergey. Like, I know, like, to me, Aspinall is the quick heavyweight. Like, Stipe was always smaller than Francis and always smaller than those guys, but he was the faster heavyweight, and that was a little bit of his thing, right? Same thing with Cain Velasquez. Right. To me, Aspinall was that quicker heavyweight. He was fucking humongous to Sergey Pavlovich, and I was just blown away. Brian, how about you on Aspinall Saturday?
No, Aspinall, like you guys said, the speed, the movement, the confidence that he had with his hands down, moving his head as those whizzing by his head were blowing my mind. It was funny. I had just gone to Houston. I had a buddy fighting for Fury FC. So we had gone to Houston. A couple of us were sitting at the bar watching the fight. And I literally just told them, they're like, what's your opinion? I'm the fighter guy. You know, what's your opinion on this fight? I was like, all right, if it ends early, Pavlovich is going to be the guy. If it goes late, I think Aspinall is going to take over. And then literally like a minute and a half later, I was, wow. I mean, that was one of those, like, that was incredible. That was like an inspiring performance. And like, as far as him and the heavyweights, like outside of, I wasn't really thinking about Ciryl Gane, like, especially after John Jones dispatched of him. I think that would be kind of an interesting fight because you got two moving heavyweights.
Yeah.
And him and Almeida, you know what I'm saying? Like, seeing so
that's a fight.
Like, seeing the, but outside of those two, I don't really, you know what I'm saying? Like, I agree with L. It's like, John Jones, if it's not Stipe, he's not fighting anybody else. Like, if it's not Stipe, he's retiring. And especially after seeing that fight. Maybe if he watched that fight and, like, you know, it was like a 3-round war where he saw a bunch of holes, but then, like, Aspinall just, like, dismissed Pavlovich later. That was crazy. And then, you know, in the main event, though, you know, that dude Alex Pereira, you know what I'm saying? That left hook, you know what I'm saying? That thing is prolific, you know what I'm saying? So, and how about Yuri being able to move unconscious? Like, everyone was early stoppage, and he was like, nah, I was out. But he was still moving. That guy, he's like, his mental fortitude is so hard that even if it's not like, even if he's like working in the subconscious, his subconscious body is still trying to whoop some ass, you know what I'm saying? That was a crazy card. I loved every single.
I saw a stat. It was like the entire main card was only like 22 minutes of fighting.
Yeah,
that's how many finishes were on the main card.
Yeah. Lopez was sick. Saint Benitez.
Yeah.
Dude, I said it, and like I was doing the game bread stuff, and I had the greatest time in Biloxi doing that and all that. So like I was so it's when I'm there doing that, I'm kind of like pulled away from UFC. I was telling anyone and everyone in Biloxi, Mississippi, like my whole lock of UFC 295 was Jessica Andrade, TKO, and Mackenzie Dern. I don't know why. Like, it was so obvious to me. Like, everyone forgot who Jessica Andrade was. And if you look on Tapology, those three L's are, like, the three best female fighters in the world. Like, she just, like, she's a future UFC Hall of Famer who just lost to the three in-prime females. And Mackenzie Dern is not that chick. Like, she can't stand with any of those. I just, you know, it is what it is. But Tom Aspinall is that dude. Alex Vieira can beat any middleweight, light heavyweight. God dang it, that man can go to heavyweight and maybe stop all those guys too. He can do whatever he wants.
It'd be crazy. You know what I'm saying? That'd
be nuts. I mean, he's already in GOAT status. Like, yeah. 7 fights in the UFC, 2 belts.
2 belts. Who does that? He's beat 4 champions. He's literally beat 4 champions. Jan, he's beat. Sean Strickland, he's beat. One guy he can't beat is the welterweight show stealer, Brian Battle. That's one man I know he can't beat. Brian, we appreciate you coming on. Hopefully we can do this a lot more, my man. We always appreciate you. A day one Fight Bananas family, bro.
Oh, man. Come on, man. You know what I'm saying? We've been doing this for a minute. Anytime I get the call from Dave Van Hocken, I got to stop what I'm doing so I can be on the show. You know what I'm saying? Thank you for having me, bro. It was nice working with you for the first time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was awesome having you, man.
She's the queen. L, appreciate you, family. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
See you guys.
All right, later.